1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Verse 24 is the verse that I believe the Lord would have us to look at. It says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I want to preach on this thought. Faithful is he that calleth you. Now, friend, there is no substitute for faithfulness. I remember a young boy one time pledged his love to his girlfriend, and he said, I would cross the widest sea for you. I would climb the highest mountain for you. I would wade the deepest river for you because I love you so much. And he signed his name. At the end, he said, P.S., if it rains tomorrow, I'll try to see you the next day after. That's not real faithfulness, is it? To pledge your love and then not follow through with it. I hear a lot of times people pledge their love for, oh, how much I love the church, but you never see them. And so faithfulness to me is someone who is committed in love to something. Now, God the Father is the perfect example of faithfulness. He is committed to you and to I all the way. I think about 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 13. He says this, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. In other words, if there's something going on that he says or teaches and you don't believe it, it doesn't change who he is. He can't deny himself. He abideth faithful. I was reading in Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse number 11, and I saw the scriptures that said, thou remainest. Listen, friend, all your friends and all your family and all your loved ones may turn against you one day, yet the Lord remains with you. He is faithful. He is the epitome of faithfulness. There was a lady one time, she had been very sick, she was having a lot of trouble, and she went to see the doctor, and she got there into his office, and she sat there in the waiting room wondering what it was she was going to tell him about why she was sickly and about her symptoms. And she looked up in that waiting room, and he had a little fireplace area there in his waiting room, and he had a mantle. And on the mantle it said, thou remainest. And when she read that about the faithfulness of God, healing came to her body. She thought, I've wasted this doctor's time to even get this appointment. When they called her name, she said, it's okay. I don't need him now. The Lord has showed up. I was depressed. I was discouraged. But I found out something in this waiting room. And they said, what is it? That God remains. He's faithful, amen. Every step of the way, our God is faithful. Now, friend, I'll say this to you, and we'll begin to preach the message, that without faithfulness, there is no foundation. There's got to be faithfulness. Paul even said that in a steward, you must be found faithful. I talk to a lot of people, and people will tell me that they're faithful. Let me tell you about our faithfulness. I remember one time a young man, he had surrendered to preach, been preaching for a little while, and on Wednesday night, I went to church and seen him coaching third base. And he's just on the ball field there, real close to where the church was. And I watched for him at 7 o'clock. He never made it into church at 7 or at 7:30. 8 o'clock came, he had still never got there. He was at the ball game, running down third base, saying, run, Johnny, run! Run, Johnny, run! And slide in and get home and be safe. And you know, it come time for him to preach. The next Sunday night, the pastor would ask him to preach. And you know what he preached on? He preached on faithfulness. Faithfulness. I thought, Lord God, you preaching on faithfulness, and you just laid out Wednesday night to coach a baseball game. You see, that's not faithfulness. Some of us say, I'm faithful to church. But the truth is, you're only going to come to a Sunday morning service, and that's it. We'll not see you on Sunday night. We'll not see you on Wednesday. But you're faithful on Sunday morning. You know, faithfulness is relevant to a lot of people. But with God, it is His character. That is who He is. God is faithful. He's always faithful. You'll never find a time when He's not faithful. I remember as Jesus was headed there to give His life on the cross. He was coming through Samaria, and His face was set steadfastly that He might go through onto the cross. Friend, He's faithful. He knew what awaited Him. He knew He was going to die. He knew the suffering. He knew the pain, that the separation that He was going to have to endure. Yet, He remained faithful. If pain comes to us or suffering, we look for an easy way out. But not God. God is faithful. And I promise you, in your storm and in your affliction, you'll find that God is faithful. Your friends may not be faithful. Your family may not be faithful. Your pastor may not be faithful. Your deacon may not be faithful. But God is faithful. Looking at the scripture tonight, there are 5 points. And I want you to understand, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. I'm thankful tonight, aren't you, that a faithful God called unto us sinners, then called us that we might be saved. Amen. In the book of Mark, chapter 10, please turn there tonight. We'll have Bible 101. In the book of Mark, chapter 10, and in verse number 46, you're going to find a blind man named Bartimaeus. He's staggering in darkness. And Jesus is passing through Jericho. And verse 47 says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Hey, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He called this blind man. And friend, I want to say point number one tonight. Faithful is he that called you from darkness to light. He called for Bartimaeus to come. The Bible says that, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Do you remember that this blindness represents our lost condition? Well, we could not see spiritually. We were in darkness. You remember when you were lost and you were staggering in darkness yourself? You're just trying to find your way. Boy, I thought this week, I was sitting down there on Lower Street, and Gina went in to do a little shopping. Y'all pray for me. She went in to do a little shopping, and I was kind of sitting there studying, thinking a little bit and praying, meditating, and I heard something going click, 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 click.
down the sidewalk behind me. I looked in my rearview mirror and I didn't see nothing, but directly I saw it coming. It was a young man that was blind. He had one of them sticks, you know, trying to find his way. And he was moving at a high rate of speed. And I seen two ladies with him that looked like they was trying to teach him how to do that. And about that time, he runs pert near over a sign. I thought, Lord, he's going to get killed. And then he went over this way. He's headed, oh, I'm going to get killed. He headed over here towards a trash can. He run into that. And then I thought he's going to go out in the street. And they took off running after him. And I thought, that's the way I used to be. I'd go to the church. You could hear me. And say, what is that? Preacher said, that's that old lost boy Waldrop. Y'all pray for him. The Holy Ghost will get a hold of him one day. One night I come into Balfour Baptist Church. I sat down there. I listened to the man of God preach. I'm telling you what, the Lord Jesus Christ came and called me in my darkness. I made my way down a little old altar and I fell down there. And you know what? He saved me, amen. I don't have to have that old poker no more, amen. I don't have to click along anymore. He saved me out of darkness and called me into light. I'm thankful tonight, y'all. Bless his holy name. If you're redeemed tonight, you no longer are in bondage and blindness. You've been called into light. Now, as I used to coach a basketball team, we'd be on the floor, and as I'm coaching them, all of a sudden I'd blow the whistle. Whoop! Stop. Everybody stop where you are. And everybody'd stop. Nobody move. Teaching moment. Look where you are on the court. Look at the areas where you're standing. You're all grouped together. And look over here. There's plenty of floor space. If you'd run a cutter through there, you'd have got an easy layup. But that's not what you did. We're having a teaching moment. We got to learn how to use the space. Friend, I want to tell you tonight, let's use this being called out of darkness into light. Let's look at it as a teaching moment tonight. We're going to have some teaching verses, okay? Everybody stop where you are. Get the book of Acts and turn with me to chapter number 26. Acts chapter 26. This is a teaching verse. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 18. Speaking about being called out of darkness into light. He says this, to open their eyes, hallelujah, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, we're going to take them from darkness to light. We're going to take them from the power of Satan to the power of God. Oh, bless his dear name tonight, church, that he's brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light. I think about 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Hold still, grab your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. Let's look at the playbook. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'll ask you a question. Do you remember that day? Do you remember that night when you came in struggling in darkness and how he called you? Woo! And conviction came, but hope arose in your heart that no longer would you live in darkness. No longer would you be a blind man. I say no longer would you be under the power of Satan, but you've been called to be under the power of Almighty God. I say to you tonight, amen, faithful is he who hath called thee, who also will do it. When he calls you out of darkness, he will give you light. And he's done that tonight, church. Hallelujah. I think secondly tonight in the book of Luke, chapter number 8. The book of Luke, chapter number 8. There is a second thing that he has called us from. He has called us from death unto life. He has called us from death unto life. Now we can read here about a young lady, 12 years old, named Jairus' daughter. Verse 49 says, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleeping. They laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and he took her by the hand and called. Hey, who's calling? It's Jesus calling. Hey, God is faithful, amen. Hey, glory to God. Faithful is he that calleth you, and he will do it. He called unto her, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. He's called us from death to life. Just like that young lady, I was 12 years old. She was 12 years old. I was sitting that night dead in trespasses and in sins. And he called me. He called me when I was in death. When I hit that old-fashioned altar and I called on his glorious name, he gave me life. Not just a little extra time, but he gave me eternal life. He forgave my sins and saved my soul. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He called me out from death and he gave me life. Friend, I'm telling you, if he calls you out of death and you respond and humble yourself before him, he will give you life. Ha! Everybody be still. Teaching moment. John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Praise God. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Praise his name. We've been called from death to life. Number three, while you're close in the book of John, turn to chapter 12. And let's look down here at verse 17. I want to say, number three, that God has called us from bondage to liberty. From bondage to liberty. In verse 17, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. You remember how Jesus had called Lazarus out of the grave? You remember when he went there and his sister said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus pointed and told him to take away the stone and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Friend, faithful is he that calleth you out of bondage to liberty. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. When he said, Lazarus, come forth, he wasn't wasting his breath. He meant what he said. He knew he was going to do it. He knew the Father was going to do it, amen. And here this one was in bondage to death. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that Lazarus began to move inside that tomb when Jesus called his name. We know that he called Lazarus his name, because if he'd have said to all the dead, come forth, then all got up. I remember the night he spoke to me. He called my name. Amen. Read with me in John 11, 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Hey, Jesus has called this one from death to life. But as he comes out, he's still bound. He's got grave clothes on him. Amen. He's got a napkin over his face there. Look what Jesus saith unto them. Loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. They took those garments that bound him away from him. Friend, I want to say to you tonight, amen. God has called you from bondage to liberty. He's given you this life, but what are you doing with it? You're trying to be bound by the power of sin. Listen, if he gave you life, when he called you from death and gave you life, why go back to alcohol? Why go back to drugs? Why go back to sexual addiction and the lust of this world? Why go back to that previous state? He's called you out of bondage, and he said, loose him and let him go. Hallelujah to God. We've been set free. You don't have to sit in a church service all bound up and hogtied. God said, loose them and let them go. And hallelujah, when the Holy Ghost starts to welling up inside our soul, every now and then you'll hear somebody holler, hallelujah, preacher. Amen, glory to God. I'm telling you, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Aren't you glad when you're in bondage, he come and called you? You. Little old you. I remember that night, 16 years old I was, sitting at the Hooper's Creek Baptist Church. Old Charlie LeBall got up, quietest man in the whole church, started shouting and praising God. We was all shocked. God had called him from bondage and gave him liberty. He come around the front, come down the side area right here. About, I was about halfway back. Stand up with me, son. He grabbed a hold of me just like this. And when he did, something supercharged run through me. I took off running. Take off, son. Amen. I took off running and shouting and praising God. And went, stay back there. And when I got to the back, I thought, what in the world has happened to me? I ain't never had such a fit like this. You see, God had called me from bondage to liberty that night and set me free. You'd have never thought that a shy 16-year-old boy would take off, woo, through the church. But he did. Yep, man. Lord of God, you can come back, son. You want to run if you want to, that'd be all right. I pray to God. Got to get a hold of some of these young people around here. Let them experience what it's like to be loose from the bondage of pride and be concerned about what everybody thinks about you. And God just say, loose them and let them go. And you get a case of the can't help it and have to jump up and holler and shout and run and cry and sling snot. Well, glory to God. Wait a minute. Hold still. Teaching verse. I want you to turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse number 13. Well, preacher, you just set us free, and now you done held us up. Galatians 5 and verse 13. Galatians 5. Well, I wish you could feel what I'm feeling. Amen. For brethren, Galatians 5, 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. God called you to liberty. Your marriage does not need to be bound up in bondage. Your employment, your attendance at the house of God does not need to be bound up in bondage. Your finances don't need to be there. Y'all say, praise God for that, preacher. I don't know how it's going to happen. I'll tell you how. When he says, loose it and let it go. Well, I'd like for God to say that. That means you need to let it go. You're the one holding on to it. You're the one holding on to material possessions and worried about, hey, you just give. Watch what God will do. Loose him and let him go. Boy, I hit the bottom right there, didn't I? Amen. Oh, you just run away, preacher. But he said, don't use this liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Some people believe, well, I've got liberty, and that means I can do anything. I can lay out of church all the time. Because I'm saved, I've got liberty. That's not what it means. Because I've got liberty, I can say anything to anybody. I can tell a preacher off, and I'm still saved, and you are. I can tell the deacons off, and I'm still saved, and you are. Because I'm just going to tell everybody, listen, the Bible says you don't use this liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but we ought to use it to love one another. You have liberty to love on each other. Amen. Hallelujah. Number four tonight. We have been called from rebellion to fellowship. In the book of Mark, chapter number 5, we've been called from rebellion to fellowship. We meet a young man who is possessed of a legion of devils. And the Lord Jesus Christ sent those devils out of that man into the swine. And when the demons and the devils entered into the swine, they run off the cliffs into the sea and committed suicide. You'll get that after a while. Swine and suicide. You'll get that after. You've got to be a farmer. Now understand that Jesus took the demons and cast them out of this man. And the Bible says in verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Hey, this man has been called from rebellion, full of demons, doing the devil's business. And Jesus came and sent the devils on their way. And now this man is in fellowship with Jesus Christ. He is sitting there, probably at Jesus' feet, hearing him teach the word. No longer is he running around naked. He's got his clothes on. No longer is he doing things that the devil would have him do, that the flesh would have him do, but the Bible said he's in his right mind. Now ain't it amazing that the world was scared of him? When he was a rebel, well, it was okay. They expected him to live like a rebel. But when he got right with God, when he got saved, and he started going to church, sitting at Jesus' feet, when he put his clothes on, when he got his right mind, then they're afraid of him. But ain't you glad tonight, friend, that it was the same way with us? When the devil had his hold on our life and we were living as rebel rousers, don't you look at me like you wasn't one. You was an ever hog lot and ever swine hole that there was. You was running around dancing with you know who and drinking with you know who. You was a rebel rouser. But praise God, somebody came by and spoke your name and got a hold of you and took away your rebellious nature and gave you fellowship with him and with the saints of God. Amen. Ain't it amazing? After you got saved, you started wanting to come to church. Ain't it amazing? After you got saved, the people that you judged at the house of God that you used to couldn't stand, now you shake hands with them and hug their neck and say, pray for me. Things is a little different. Why? Because you've been called from rebellion to fellowship. Yeah, man. Wait a minute. We have a teaching verse. I want you to turn in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I think about this verse. I can't leave it alone. You remember a young man named Saul. He had letters to go out and arrest people at the house of God. The Bible says he made havoc of the church. He was hailing them and arresting them and taking them off to jail and making sure they were put to death. You might say that Apostle Paul, or we'll still call him Saul, was a rebel rouser. And with the letters in his hand to go arrest the man of God, to go arrest the deacon board, and to take down the church members, as he rode that day on the Damascus Road, a great light shined at him. And he fell on the ground. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." You've been living as a rebel rouser. You persecuted my man. You persecuted my church. If you're doing that, you're persecuting me. Hey, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" What he's doing is, he said, "Lord, I surrender to you my rebel heart, and I want to walk in fellowship with you." This same man God called to preach, and he suffered great things for the name of Almighty God. He penned down 13 or 14 books of the Bible, started church after church after church. Here, I'm going to tell you something. God called him from rebellion to fellowship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse number 9, God is faithful. Yeah, man. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hey, he that is holy, he that is three times holy, the Son of God, took an old rebel like you and me and saved our soul and turned us from a life of rebellion and allow us to have fellowship with him. I want to take time out tonight and just say, glory to God. How'd that happen? How in the world could an old rebel like me, how in the world, allow me to have fellowship with him? Allow me to come before the throne of grace that I might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Comes by in the middle of my night and picks me up and holds me, amen, and encourages me. Hallelujah. He says, "I want to have fellowship with you." I'm not talking about our president. I'm not talking about our congressman. I'm not talking about some sports figure. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Says, "I want a fellowship with you." Woo! Bless his holy name. Glory to God. Number five tonight, in the book of Mark chapter 6. In the book of Mark chapter 6, I want to say that he has called us from labor to rest. From labor to rest. In the book of Mark chapter 6, you're very familiar with all these stories, I know. The Bible says that he had constrained them in verse 45 that they should go to the other side of the sea, to a place called Bethsaida. And when he had sent them away, verse 46, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when the even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Amen. They're in the middle of a storm. Lightning's a zapping. Thunder's a rolling. The wind is a blowing. Friend, I'm telling you, the waves are arising. It does not look good for them. And these experienced fishermen, they've been many times on that sea. They've been in a lot of storms. They went to rowing just as hard as they could. I'm telling you, they was a laboring. They was a toiling. They were hard pressed. I'm talking to somebody tonight that it's not come easy for you. You've had a struggle. You've had hardship. You've had difficulties. The devil says, "Why don't you just cuss God and quit? Why don't you just give up?" But I'm telling you what, about the fourth watch of the night, which is the darkest hour, the Bible says he cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they, supposing it had been a spirit, cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them. Amen. In other words, he's called to them. He's talked with them and saith unto them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Oh, hallelujah. I could read you to another place in the scripture that there was a time that they were in another storm and they ran to Jesus and said, Master, he was asleep on the back of the boat. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Hallelujah. It's okay to go get God in your life's most desperate hour. Amen. It's okay to tell God about your struggles and your hardships and your difficulties. After all, he's the one that's called you from death to life, from bondage to liberty. And yet there's struggles and problems. And when Jesus gets up, I like it where he said he arose. Amen. He arose and he said, peace, be still. And the waves calmed down and the wind ceased to raise him. I think about the scripture where it says that they were amazed and said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? What manner of man is this? He's the one we have fellowship with. Amen. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Friend, he's called you from that rowing and that struggle and that hardship and says, just rest in me. Teaching verse, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. These are the words of our Savior. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, come unto me. That's his call. Come unto me, all you that have hardships and struggles and difficulties. You that are laboring, you that are hard pressed, you that are under a weight right now. He's calling. God is faithful that calleth you. What's he calling you from? From labor. What's he calling to you? You too. The Bible says, and I will give you rest. That tells me that if you're laboring, you're doing it in your own power. Because obviously, as he calls you out, you are here. I'm with you. We're in the boat together. We're struggling. We're having hardships. But can you see him as he stands? Come unto me. That means you have to leave where you are. He's calling you out. And he says, if you'll come to me, I will give you something. I will give you rest. Boy, the devil hates that, don't he? Hey, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If he calls for you to come unto him, O ye that labor and are heavy laden, and he says, I will give you rest, he'll do it. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Many times I've had people say, preacher, I'll tell you about my struggles, but you've already got so much on you and I can't weigh you down anymore. And I hate you feel that way, but at the same time, I thank you for feeling that way. And many times I'd like to talk to you, and I know you got things on your heart, but I can't lay them on you because it's pressed you down. Well, we've got one. Ooh, and we have struggles and hardships. Who said, listen, my burden's light. My burden's light. You put more on me, I can take it. And when you do, son, I'm going to change this thing. I'm going to God, hallelujah. I'm going to turn this thing around. I'm going to call you from labor to rest. Church, I say to you tonight, there's at least five things. I've got two more, and I don't have time to preach them. I figured I wouldn't, but I got two more. Amen. But listen, he's faithful that's calling you. But to be called is wonderful. But do you respond to his call? You stand to your feet. Someone come to the pen tonight, prayed much to them and said, Lord, I guess we'll just preach and go home. God said, Paul's preacher said, you need to give an invitation. I'm calling some people out tonight. I'm calling them from labor to rest. I'm calling some out from bondage to liberty. Praise God. Just this afternoon, one was called from death unto life. One was called from blindness unto his marvelous light. Friend, he can do it tonight. Hallelujah to God.